There's no doubt in life there are several circumstances that take place when you really desire just some sort of glimpse of hope. Well, that's the name of a ministry. Actually, it's called Glimpses of Hope these two folks who are with me will share about. Philippe and Jan Deschambrier are guests today, and Glimpses of Hope Ministry is something that I don't know whose brainchild it is. I want to give credit to either one of you, but it's something that was born out of our own experience, but is now mushroomed into an opportunity to really walk alongside many others. And Jan, let's start with you, since you experienced the situation, that when you are faced with a life-threatening disease, you cry out for hope. And where does one find that hope?
We find the hope in Christ, and of course we know that, but we need others to come alongside us and to help to constantly bring us back to the knowledge that it is Jesus who is our hope, and his hope will not disappoint us. And I think it's often so important to remember that those who have walked this walk, as we have seen that over a period of many years, that we were fearful like anyone else when it all began 22 years ago. And there were times that it was terrifying. And yet, as I came alongside my friend Carrie Oliver in helping her through her journey with pancreatic cancer, we focused not on the problems, but on the hope that we have in Christ. And when I felt prompted by the Lord to write this book, and this was after the death of Carrie, and I was given permission by her husband, Dr. Gary Oliver, to use her online journal as the basis for her voice in the book, I felt very sure that it was to be a book of the hope that we have in Christ, not about cancer, but cancer as really the excuse for our leaning on the everlasting arms of God and for drawing near to him in the midst of this. So every chapter of this book begins with scripture and ends with prayer. And I would say that every page really contains hope.
Now, is it just hope for those facing cancer? Or?
No, it is the hope that we have in life. You know, Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we can see that in so many different aspects of life, that marriages are in trouble, that children are in trouble, the financial situation is pretty dire for many folks, that there are so many life circumstances that demand that what we don't have unless we have the hope that is Christ. And when we call on him, he answers. And I think that it brings to mind also the story of Joshua and the Israelites fighting the Amalekites. And Moses promised Joshua that he would stand above and hold up his staff. And as long as Moses did that, the Israelites were winning the battle. But Moses grew tired, and Aaron and Hur were faithful to lift up the arms of Moses. So we are to lift up the arms of those who are fighting the battle.
Glimpses of Hope is the title of the ministry, glimpsesofhope.org. The book is called Glimpses. I'm curious, Philippe, the disease didn't touch you except through Jan. What glimpses of hope did you need? And why did you become a part of putting together a ministry that seeks to encourage others, whether they're walking through this journey or another?
I think initially, especially after Jan wrote the book, I was a little reluctant even to read the book while she was writing it.
I had to ask him a few times.
It's like a little supportive husband there. Huh?
Well, it's because of 20 years of support and encouragement. Suddenly, there's some things you think I don't necessarily want to revisit. It's like a threatening thing. And then when I read the book, I realized it was very uplifting. And it wasn't about the anguish or the depth of pain that Jan had to go through when she had her cancer and all the worries and the fears, and it was much more at the other end, the fruit, the end result was was I could you feel, you taste this this intimacy that she had developed with the Lord because of what the pain that she had gone through. And I think Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they might know you. And the knowing, the word know, I think in Greek means the most intimate kind of knowledge there is. It's the same word that Mary used to the angel. You know, she says, I have, you know, the angel told her that she would have a child. And she says, how is it possible? I know no man. It's this incredibly intimate knowledge of God. And the whole crux of this book is Jan's intimacy with God is growing through her cancer experience, and Carrie's intimacy with God to the point where the circumstances is nearly flipped. It doesn't matter that the cancer is either overcome or not overcome, but it is the reality that life itself is very short, but it has one purpose: is to give us the ability to learn to know God and to be reconciled with Him and to know Him in such a way that we are hopeful, whether the end result is going to be death because of cancer or whether or not we overcome cancer. And that's the hope we like to talk about either in small groups or in one-on-one with people that we've ministered to through the years. It's a walk that is sometimes hilarious and sometimes funny and sometimes filled with pain and suffering and fear. But in the whole process, you learn that you can overcome these things. Mm-hmm. And not sort of triumphalism kind of thing. You know, we're triumphant because Jesus told us we would be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors because He's conquering these things in us. It's a whole process that I've learned, and reading that book gave me a lot of input, I mean, or a lot of insights on what Jan went through during that whole period, and what Carrie went through, and I realized, oh, this is the whole unfolding of a journey of intimacy, where they learn to experience God. I think it's Blackerby's, you know, a few mm-hmm. years ago wrote that book, Experiencing God, and you learn to experience God through circumstances, through good circumstances, through bad circumstances. And the whole process is not simply, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. It's, no, life starts now. You're one with God. You get to know Him. And life becomes exciting even in circumstances that are horrific.
Right. Yeah, horrific. Yeah, exactly. That's Philippe Deschambrier with his wife Jan, and I like the idea that you're not saying it's all about positive mental attitude. It's about relationship, and it's the relationship with the one who came to offer Himself to die for us, and did, and then rose again so that we might have life in His name. I'm curious to know again what is the hope that you need versus, I mean, she's hoping for healing or for the medicine will work or whatever the therapy is. Your hope walking alongside, what, that this will end? Will, you know, finally we can have a normal life? I mean, what are some of the things that you wrestled with as far as glimpses of hope?
Well, as the caregiver or, you know, somebody who comes along, somebody who has cancer, part of it is, when are we going back to normal? Yeah. But there is no normal.
It's a new normal.
On Earth, everything is rotten, everything is broken, everything is out of whack, whether you like it or not. And the only normal there is discovering for myself that same intimacy, that same relationship that she experienced because of the fear of death or the fear of the cancer coming back. And so it's this aggressive taking hold of what we have inherited. At first, it seems a little presumptuous that we can take hold of something that God has given us, but the whole concept is sort of an active sense of obedience where you say, God has given me the right to access Him, to get close to Him, and to believe that he is going to help me, that he's going to support my emotional needs and her emotional needs and give a purpose to what we're experiencing.
And believe what his word says.
And believe what his word says.
Yeah. Which I think it was probably – I think you're understanding, and folks who are listening can say, oh, well, they sort of know their Bible because you're mentioning a number of scriptures. And that was part of it, is going to the Bible to
always
understand, to see what God did
say. Yeah, that has to be the foundation of how we believe in Christ.
Faith
and how
comes
we hope.
By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And through faith, we obey God, and he builds our faith. And we see that faith at work through his promises.
The Lord has opened up a unique ministry. You are not what I would call lifelong ministers, career-wise. Philippe, what do you do for work?
I'm an airline pilot.
Okay, commercial airline pilot.
I'm a professional musician and professor of music, and now committed to lay ministry and missions.
Okay, so I mention that because I want all of us to understand that glimpses of hope is not something that is just for the pastor or just for the professional. This is for something, anyone who has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, what they have done is put together a ministry, and I call it Glimpses of Hope Ministry. Very good. Glimpsesofhope.org is the website, and the Lord has opened up doors for you to go out and actually share some of that which you have experienced.
Yes, we are privileged to speak to groups and to lead in a conference-type venue what the Lord has taught us through testimonies, through scripture, through excerpts from the book. Philippe does an amazing talk on Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, all the manifestations of Christ in the Bible before the Bible reveals the name of Christ. And we just want to show others that we have discovered how faithful and true he is, and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he abides with us in the midst of our greatest fears and helps us to overcome them.
Yeah, just before he says that, it says that, lo, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 13 there. If you'd like more information about the book Glimpses or about the ministry that they have, glimpsesofhope.org, go to their website. There's a speaking engagement page where they can be contacted. And you also serve as missionaries with International Leadership Institute. What is that?
It's an organization that Dr. Wes Griffin started about 13 years ago. He had been a missionary in Estonia, and he came back for health reasons to the United States. And then he suddenly had this understanding or vision of the growth of the church in parts of the world, which is so rapid, where they don't have time to train pastors over a 3-year period in the traditional way. So how do you break down through scripture the core values of Christian leadership? And they came down, they have essentially narrowed it down to 8 core values of Christian leadership. And it's been taught, it started with no one, 13 years ago, it's been taught in over 85 nations, 80,000 people trained around the world. And it's growing so rapidly because many of those places realize they need sort of this very elementary foundation of how to train Christian leaders.
And we have done this ourselves here in Houston recently, and this was actually the very first in the United States called History Makers USA through International Leadership Institute. So we've trained young leaders to go out, and now conferences are being spawned in different parts of the United States, as well as one in Germany at this point. So what was intended originally to be taken primarily to third world nations is now also very actively being replicated in the U.S.
Okay. Details about that ministry as well available through glimpsesofhope.org or the book itself, available Glimpses. Two stories about hope and encouragement. Our guests today, Philippe and Jan Deschambrier, our guests on Christian Radio. If you'd like more information, we ask that you go to their website for details, www.glimpsesofhope.org. Is there a final verse that you'd like to leave with us that would be an encouragement that allows us to have that glimpse of hope when we are in the situations that we find ourselves?
I think Romans 12:12. be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, fervent in prayer.
Hmm. Good words. Philippe, do you have one?
Oh, it's in Hebrews. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designed by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. It's especially that whole process of trying to understand that Jesus actually had to learn obedience. And that has recently just really turned me upside down. If he had to learn, I have to learn.
Good application. All right. Philippe and Jeanne Deschambrière, our guests today, glimpses of hope.org. Thank you so much. Godspeed as you continue to serve.
Thank you.